Hey guys, welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I'm Mary.
This is Elise.
And it is January, so we are talking about all things pro-life and how that pertains to many different things, including sex, and specifically Michelle Williams and that interesting speech she just had.
Yeah.
No dogs today.
No dogs. There's no rustling of bones in the background. Just dancing it out.
So, before we get to Michelle Williams and all that interesting conversation, how was your New Year's?
It was uneventful, but wonderful.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. How was yours?
It was eventful, but okay. not the kind of eventful I wanted, but it was good. Okay. Really cool kind of story or thought process I have going on here. So what is the feast day on New Year's? It's the feast day of a Mary, Mother of God. Did I say that right?
I believe so.
You know what I'm talking about. So we go to Mass on New Year's Day. Well, when Chris and I and Bella went to Mass, you know how, forgive my lack of theology degree and understanding, but they have a part of the Mass where they sing and the priest kind of comes down the aisle and goes on the altar and then everybody stops singing.
Yes.
And then he has these like opening words and everybody sits down.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we went to Mary Queen of Peace, and the priest talked about Mary and referred to her fruitful virginity.
Oh, wow. And
so when he said, I don't even remember what he specifically said about it, but he said her fruitful virginity. And instantly I was like, because those two words like don't sound like they go together.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, how beautiful. It kind of made my heart stir a little bit. And it made me think, obviously she's a biological mother, right?
Right.
But to be so incredibly fruitful in her virginity and having not ever had sex, like it's kind of similar to also think how fruitful infertility can be.
Right.
So even though I know it's not exactly the same thing, I was like, well, wow, like if she can be a biological mother and never have sex, I can be a mother and never have a child physically.
Right.
And but not only that, like just the extent of infertility and how fruitful that can be spiritual motherhood. Right. Like that's what I felt like when I heard that.
Yeah.
It was so profound.
Infertility
and
or single life or, you know,
absolutely.
Like it's
single
like
life
all...
the same way. Like just how fruitful we can be in these areas where we really don't always feel so fruitful.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
That's just what I wanted to say.
That's pretty awesome. Who was the priest?
Yeah, I wish I could remember, right?
You don't remember which priest it was?
No.
Was he older?
It wasn't. Yeah, I think he was a little bit older. It wasn't one of the usual priests.
Balinski?
They must have all been
Does he have,
on vacation.
He was like older with
yeah,
like
he was
white
one of
hair.
The older ones.
It was probably Balinski.
But very wise.
He always has like really good. I'm trying to look up because I was like, was that the feast day? So bad. I'm so off.
It was. Yeah, it was totally Mary, Mother of God or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, that's okay.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of motherhood, it's kind of a great, you know, lead into this, what we're talking about. And we've been really wanting to do a pro-life or 700 pro-life episodes.
Yeah, I know.
We could go on forever and ever, but Elise had this great idea because of January being March for Life.
Right.
This would be the first, a good month to really like break open into that.
CC Senorita. And Elijah's, what we celebrated as his birthday is coming up on
right,
the 24th.
That's right. I just saw that in my calendar.
That'll be his first heavenly birthday.
That's,
gosh.
We're excited we'll have to celebrate.
I know. I like forget that I'm like, I need to invite like our friends to be a part of
Heck
this.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and so what a strange, like, not that it's ever a perfect time to have a speech like she had, but the Golden Globes. And as many of you probably are aware of Michelle Williams' speech that she gave when she received her Golden Globes, like right before this, it's just, it kind of is the perfect time to break open some of her comments. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely the hot topic right now. And she was very passionate and very emotional in her comments, mm-hmm, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that there's been a lot of passionate responses from either side. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting how opposite the reactions are, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it is a touchy subject, obviously.
Yeah.
But I read some of the comments in support of, and obviously some opposed to the ideas that she was delivering. Yeah. And they're both just equally heated, but in opposite ways.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. It is. It is. I mean, but that's when there's an important issue, that's how it's always going to be. You know what I mean? And it was, you know, like, it's one of those things where it's like, when it comes to life, you know, mm-hmm, for me, it's always going to be like, I'm a pretty docile person. Sure. I'm a pretty passionate person. That's just not even true when I say docile. But what I mean is, like, I'm usually very respectful of other people's, you know, opinions and beliefs and things like that. But when you put life on the line, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, in the situation where pro-life is concerned, for me, you are hurting somebody.
It's black and white.
Yeah. So
whether or not everyone realizes that or not, it is black and white.
Right.
So let's give some background a little bit for those who are not familiar with this, although I don't really know how you couldn't be familiar with it.
I know it's all over the place.
What you were just talking to me kind of about what it sounds like happened as far as.
She got up there, and of course you can find this on YouTube. All you have to do is put in Michelle Williams and you'll find 50 million
or Facebook
things.
Anywhere
right now, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And I mean, I would encourage you to listen to the speech. I think that it's important when there's these, like, very, when something that gets the whole world, mm-hmm, you know, like
fired up,
it's something that you should at least take the time to listen to and, like, have an opinion on, you know what I mean? So I listened to it, and I'll be honest, I was like avoiding it like the plague, because I knew it was going to be a very difficult thing to watch for me and hear, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And we are very pro woman, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very pro woman, and so, like, just like, it's so disheartening, you know, like, when you hear. Anyways, I'll go into it. So basically, she made this speech about you know, winning the Golden Globe Award, and in so many words, she basically said that she was grateful for that she lives in a society where she is free to make her own choices. And she was basically saying,
implying that she had an abortion.
Right. But
in order to do something.
Yeah. Well, she was basically like, by you giving me this award, you are saying that you approve and, like, support, and I forget, like, exactly how she said it, but we're like, of my choices that I make to get to this point.
Well, and she was also highlighting this idea that she was able to even get this award because of that choice to have an abortion.
Right. Right. Well, sort of.
That's how I took from it.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to it and I didn't necessarily take, she wasn't as direct as I thought.
Huh.
That's just my personal opinion. And again, like, I think that's just, it's funny how, like, and that's why I think it's interesting and why mm-hmm. you need to listen to it. I didn't feel like it was as much of a direct correlation. I think she was saying that she did have one, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. she was definitely saying that her choices, I just totally burped into the mic. Here we go. Like,
real life. There,
this is real life. This is real Elise. Well, not really. I don't like burp all the time, but I will burp. Anyways, we'll have a fart later.
Oh my God, just kidding. This is still happening.
Because you know you love me.
I do.
This
true.
Is how it always
do
is.
Do you even remember what you were saying?
Yes. Okay. So going back to all of this, but my point being is that she was basically saying, like, thank you for approving of my choices, because the choices that I've made, the choice to have a child, not have a child, who I have my child with, when I have my child, like, that choice is so important to me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was able to, you know, like.
This is interesting. You can tell we don't talk about these things fully before we get on our podcast.
I know, yeah. Which is good.
That's the first time. It is
good.
That's
the whole point of it.
But she
you know?
Does say, and I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose.
Oh, so that's really
where I
did.
That was what okay, I hear then, what you're saying.
Yeah.
But that was the part that I really fully got, I guess, was most standing out to me.
No, and but that's funny. Like, we'll talk about the other thing later, because mm-hmm. the other quote is what one. What like for
I
me
I think that's what she first said. And so I'm just gonna read it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She says, "I'm grateful for the acknowledgement of the choices I've made, and I'm also grateful to have lived at a moment in our society where choice exists. Because as women and as girls, things can happen to our bodies that are not our choice."
I literally, like, that statement
cringeworthy
makes me want to vomit. I can't sugarcoat it. Like, that's literally
so
how it makes me feel.
Many reasons.
Yeah. So let's break that down.
I don't even know where to start. Like, the first thing is choice. Because yeah. I think that what we often hear from that side of the aisle, so to speak, is not about choice at all.
Yeah.
Like, if you want me to have choices, then give them to me. I don't just have a choice for abortion. You know, yeah. I can adopt. There's also like choices. And when we're talking about birth control, I mean, you don't have to choose birth control. Like, why not provide all the options out there for us and let me to make and give me all the information so I can make an informed choice.
Right. Right. And unfortunately, from their perspective, they're like, well, yeah. And that's part of that is having an abortion. You know what I mean? Like, so they're like, yeah, OK, you can, because she even said it in part of her talk. She was like, you have your beliefs and I have my beliefs. And, you
right,
know,
that's true. I did say
and
that.
And she was basically like, women, like, make sure that when you go to vote, you vote for what you believe in. And I was like, well, hell to the yeah. Like, I will. I will.
Plan on it.
Yeah, but so, and that's, you know, she's basically, you know, which is kind of for me the moral relativism that has seeped into our society of like, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. Don't tell me that my truth isn't my truth. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like, well, there is a truth. Like, we have to make a decision that there is a truth. So there's going to be opposing sides, you know?
Absolutely.
You can't just be like, oh yeah, well, you're okay with what you're doing, especially when it comes to something as important as protecting life, you know? Mm-hmm. So what made me like, so that, because specifically it was when she said, as women and as girls, things can happen to our body that are not our choice.
Well, easily what the worst things, part of this whole speech.
Things. I'm right. like, right. what, like yeast infections? Sorry, everybody. You're getting the least in all of her glory tonight. But like, but seriously, like that is, I yes. was like, things.
Things can happen to our bodies. And here's the question, Michelle Williams and all supporters, since when did it become a surprise that having sex can get a woman pregnant? It's not. That's
well,
the problem
I mean, like,
with that sentence.
And it's not like you're just like laying there and letting it happen. Now, granted, like that rape happens.
Well,
I'm not talking about
and
that.
And that's
I'm,
not what yeah. we're talking about.
No, I'm talking about like you're the one letting it happen to yourself.
You have actually made a choice and your choice yes. was to have sexual intercourse.
Yes.
There, that was your choice.
Yes.
And that's what I think the large part of the pro-abortion side doesn't get, that like for us who are like really pro-life, that's where the choice starts.
Right.
Well, do I need to choose to have intercourse or not? And
right.
you don't have to.
Well, and when you're enslaved by your yeah, like, but when you're enslaved by your desires, like when something, you can't say no to something, you got a problem. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Like, and what kills me is that in this whole like world of women are not victims, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you're literally saying that we're victims to our body.
Absolutely.
That we're literally victims to our, how can you say, like, I don't
well,
even understand that. I can't comprehend that.
In a situation of consensual sex, you can't be surprised by a pregnancy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that sentence makes zero sense.
Yeah,
it's
very, to me, it's very degrading to women. And it's very, to me, as a youth minister, as a former youth minister, like, it makes me very angry that she's addressing as women and as girls.
As,
like,
as if it's empowering.
Yes.
And that's the next trouble with the next part. She says, I've tried my very best to live a life of my own making, and not just a series of events that happened to me, but one that I could stand back and look at and recognize my handwriting all over. Sometimes messy and scrawling, sometimes careful and precise, but one that I had carved with my own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose when to have my children and with whom. Which, here's the thing, like, we hear it preached from the rooftops, like, women are awesome. Women are strong. Like, women can do anything. Mm-hmm. Unless she's pregnant and has difficult, like, is going to be hard.
Right.
Like, why does that change when a woman is in an, with it, has an unplanned pregnancy?
Right.
Why is everything changed? Why can she suddenly not do it? Why is she suddenly not strong enough to be able to conquer the world and do things?
Right.
Like, to be fully appreciative of our womanhood means to appreciate, did I say womanhood or motherhood?
Womanhood.
Womanhood. All, to be all things woman means to be a mother.
Right.
And you can't, like, cut that part out of being a woman.
Right.
That's part, a very essential part of being a woman.
Right.
And so, again, this just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, and to me, it's, again, it's like part of growing up is learning, like, there's consequences to your actions, you know,
and responsibility.
And, yeah. And taking responsibility. Like, I think that is so, and watching, like, as both of you, we've both worked with teenagers specifically, and, like, you can see when there is a child who has literally been given everything, and their parents basically take that away from them, like consequences and having to be responsible.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And they're miserable.
Isn't it funny how that, like, happens?
Right. Because it is so important for us. And I'm going to start being, you're going to start hearing me talk a lot about Brené Brown, because I'm now obsessed with her. Which I, like, used to be like eye roll, because everybody was like, oh my gosh, Brené Brown. And I was like, okay, now I get it.
now you're on the train.
But, like, wholehearted living, you need it in order for wholehearted living. You need to be able to.
What do you mean by wholehearted living?
Like, in order for you to live a life that is, like, full, you know, okay, and real, and that you're not constantly in shame and guilt and depressed and anxious, you know, in order for you to live that wholehearted life with your full heart, you know, like, you need to be able to admit that you can make mistakes and that there will be consequences, and that you need to stand firm and you need to be responsible and you need to grow up and basically be like, I made a mistake. I'm going to take responsibility for my choices and I'm going to move forward. And you do that and you grow, you know?
Yes, indeed.
And, like, and if we keep being like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to take the easy road out, we're never going to know what it means to live, to truly live. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. And who's to say she couldn't? Like, it's just sad, because as we who suffer and sacrifice but have the faith in God and the trust in him when difficult things are not even difficult, but just things that we didn't plan on
right
happen, and the beauty that can come from that.
Oh my
like
gosh.
She missed
yeah.
out. Sorry.
Agreed.
Michelle Williams, but you missed out.
Right.
And I mean, it's just, it's so sad. And I look at that picture of her face in this article and I don't see joy. I don't see peace. I don't see
she
empowerment.
Looks literally tortured.
She looks tortured
yeah.
internally. It's really interesting. But also wanted to also just remind, I think there's a couple of other stories of actresses too, but like Gail Godot from, what's the movie? Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah,
how
yeah.
How she filmed
yeah.
that and was, what, like 5 months pregnant
yeah.
or something
yeah.
crazy? Like,
yeah.
I just love hearing stories like that, whether it's filming a movie or those little
I'm
pictures
so glad you
of
remembered
people.
That. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like these women who...
Right.
Like, have a picture of them with their diploma and their cap, like their graduation
right.
cap, holding their baby.
Yeah.
Like,
or a big belly.
Don't give
or...
me these lies
yeah.
that I can't do something because I'm pregnant and have a baby.
Right.
I mean, it's just funny to hear me say that because it's never going to happen. <I know. laughs> But no, I'm laughing, really. But just that
right,
idea
right.
that present me with a challenge,
right.
present me with something I didn't plan for and watch me succeed and watch
right.
me do it better than
because
like,
we're
I ever
fierce,
thought
like we're
I
fierce
could.
And we can overcome anything.
And that's
you know
what it means to be a woman,
right? I agree. I mean, like, amen. Like, badass, you know, freaking, here, right? Like, I mean, like, that's what I mean. It just gets me so worked up because I'm like, you know, coming from somebody who literally, like, I almost lost my life, like, trying to have my child, oh, you know, gosh. like, it's just very difficult. Like, it really brings some incredibly strong emotions up. Because of, and this is what's sad, and we talked about this a little bit on the phone, is like, it makes my heart sick that her mindset is so distorted. Because right. who are your parents? How did you get to this point not knowing the value of life, you know, not seeing the beauty of that, and that above anything else is the most precious thing, you know?
I think that's where the crack in the argument is that they will rationalize to the extent that they're telling themselves that it's not a life. That's the right. only way that you can go through yeah. with that is by saying, oh, it's not a life at this point. It's not a life at this point. That there's no point in time that we can say this is right. definitely a life. And that's just a lie.
Which, I mean, like, they do have those points, and it keeps getting, with more technology, it keeps getting pushed back more and more and more and more. You know what I mean? And, like, that's what's, and then, like, these powerful images, like, when they do surgeries in utero, and, like, you know, that one, yeah, the one doctor who, yeah, oh my gosh, just, I can't even, like,
well,
go ahead.
I was just going to add, I'm studying for my final exam to become a Creighton practitioner. And so I'm rereading my anatomy and physiology book. And I was at this chapter, and it's talking about like something like 10 weeks of age before we're like in the womb, before we're born. We're already getting like all of these hormones. For like when we're older, like I have have this one written down. Hormones that are relevant to the processing of the germ cells in the ovaries begin to appear as early as the 10th week of embryonic life. And you're going to tell me it's not a human who's developing like eggs in her ovaries or like the germ cells that will.
Yeah.
It's just when I was reading and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a human.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even at like 8 weeks is when, the doctor said that, you know, Elijah stopped developing, even though it wasn't until 11 weeks that we found I had what's called a missed miscarriage, where your body keeps going and doesn't realize you're not pregnant anymore. And like, I look at pictures of 8 weeks, like what a baby, and it's like so developed, you know, at 8 weeks, and it's so tiny, you know, I don't know. I just, I don't know.
And you heard the heartbeat before 8 weeks. Oh, so forget even these germ cells. It's got a heart.
6 weeks.
There's a heartbeat.
It was a vibrant, like the most beautiful moment I've ever had, which, you know, I'll probably talk about that as we get closer. You know, that would probably be a good thing to talk about this month is Elijah. But like, I'll save that for that because that was, but I feel like this is a good time to, I had told you about the Abby Johnson post. Abby Johnson was a, oh my gosh, my brain's dying. Oh my gosh.
She worked for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, she was pretty like high a high up like Planned Parenthood worker. Yeah. She got like an award for outstanding service and dedication for Planned Parenthood, employee of the year for Planned Parenthood.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she was like high up. Anyways, this was her post about Michelle Williams, and I just feel like it's like appropriate with what we're talking about. She said, everyone has been talking about Michelle Williams after the Golden Globes. I said a couple things on Twitter, but honestly have been trying to get my thoughts together. This is really a very small piece of my entire thought, which is so funny because it's actually pretty long. Just a decade ago, I would have been standing and cheering at her speech, but these days I listen to her words and they feel so vapid, so shallow. But I know she means what she says. She stood before a crowd of people and proudly proclaimed her choice and how that choice had made her way for her career. She traded a child, a choice, for a small golden statue that will sit on a shelf with her other statues that all ultimately mean nothing.
Oh my gosh. I know. That's very true and profound.
I know. That's why I was like, That's why I was like, oh my gosh, I need to read this. She goes, and as her words were ringing hollow in my ears, they were heavy in my heart. I had traded much for something similar. It wasn't a golden statue, but a wooden plaque that I had once held so dear, an award, which she was talking about this award. I had worked hard for it, and yes, I had sacrificed so much to receive it. A healthy marriage, two children who I chose to kill by abortion, the innate call to motherhood, my morality, my femininity, my faith. So much had been traded and compromised. Yet here I stand today, a mother of eight living children, an educated woman on the verge of receiving her doctorate, married to an amazing man, strong, healed, confident, and uncompromisingly pro-life. I realize now how much of what I believed was a lie, but it really felt so profound at the time. It was a man's world, and I was willing to make the sacrifices necessary to work like a man. If it meant trading in motherhood for a 60-hour work week, then so be it. If it meant stifling who God had intended me to be as a woman, then it would be done. If it meant giving away my femininity in order to subscribe to secular feminism, a worldview that taught me to hate men and to see them as a thorn in the progression of women's equality, then I was ready to make the trade. It really did seem so sacrificial. I was sacrificing for the greater good of woman. I can't even tell you what I thought the greater good looked like, but it had to look something like childless women, self-serving women, women who saw men as adversary. While I was able to regain some of what I traded, two things would forever be lost: my two aborted children. Was this plaque worth their lives? No, of course not. But it would take some time for me to realize the error of my negotiation. You can always be redeemed, as I have been, but you can't always be free from your consequences. So today I pray for Michelle Williams. I pray that she one day renegotiates her trades. And I pray that when she comes to grips with her consequences, if that day comes, that she falls apart right into place. I was like, ooh, I know, ooh. I know. At first I was like, what? And then I was like, I know, I'm going to say it again. She said, and I pray that when she comes to grips with her consequences, if that day comes, that she falls apart right into place. I pray that she finds God in her brokenness and that he makes her whole again. Drop the phone.
What?
That was beautiful.
But also, too, shows the mercy that we should be looking at Michelle Williams and everybody else who are her supporters with. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a woman or a group of people who just don't understand what they're saying.
No, they don't. And they're so completely blind.
Versus giving them back what they're giving in the anger and the hatred.
Exactly.
Whether that is directed towards a child, an innocent child, or other people, we only react with love.
And it's funny because, like, after we were talking about that, because I brought that up today on the phone and I was like, you know, but like, we need to pray for, and I agree with that. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. But I had this moment today of like authenticity where I was like, okay, yes, I can be the stereotypical rise above and like, oh, I sound so good. You know, like, we need to pray for her. Absolutely, we need to pray for her. But I definitely have to admit that, like, it breaks my heart. You know what I mean?
As
like,
it should. You don't have to. I mean, if it doesn't break your heart, then you're not seeing
breaks my heart to the point of like, I am angry. Absolutely. You know, I'm angry at her, you know, the way that she is going to affect young women and girls who are looking up to her.
I know,
by this statement.
One of the quotes was in Teen Vogue, you know, in support of it.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think that there is also holy and righteous anger that is. Yeah. Necessary. It's okay to have reactions
absolutely.
You know, and we can do that,
right?
And we can vent about it and be respectful and pray for her. I think all of that it goes
absolutely. But I just needed to be like, I felt like, you know, I need to be authentic and where my emotions are with this, you know. But ultimately, like, you know, we've talked about this, like, you know, I at least know people who have had abortions and some that are regretful of it and some that are not, you know. And it's, you know, I will love that, you know, these friends, both of, you know, both sides, no matter what, you know, but, and I see, like, I can see their perspective, you know what I mean? I don't agree with it, you know, but I can see where they've been led to believe these perspectives. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's why it's good to listen to this conversation, watch the speech. If you know somebody, it's important if we're going to be vulnerable and try to, it's important to understand, like, where's the other person coming from? Rather than just talking at somebody, we need to try to say, okay, where is this person's heart?
Right.
In order to have a loving conversation, I think. So I think that's only valuable.
Right. Well, and they don't, like, they truly do not know. Like, you know, so if they truly don't believe that this is life, they're like, this is ridiculous.
And
you know
truly
what I mean?
Believe they're doing something good. That's the thing I know Abby Johnson
says. Like the
says.
Responsible decision. Right. And
that
the, you know.
There are so many workers in Planned Parenthood clinics that really believe they're truly helping women.
Yeah.
So if we, we need to be able to understand that.
Right.
Or having conversations, I think, in general with those people.
Right, because going at it with anger and just pointing fingers and everything is not going to solve anything. You know, it's trying to come to understanding about where are you coming from, and, like, I will love you no matter what, you know? Like, even if we disagree on this, you know? Which is, it's hard, though. Like, it's hard,
it
you
is.
Know? So,
and I think also, too, just to think of... in a culture that's talks so much about love, you know, like just preaches love so much. It's important in this instance to step back and let's define love and just remember that love is selfless. It's a choice that you make to put somebody else before ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the choice to that she was talking about, I mean, it's really more of a selfish choice than a selfless. So any choice that we make, no matter what topic, like, am I making this about myself or am I loving?
Right.
I think is an important question to ask.
Right. Well, and it just, I don't, you know, Saint Gianna, like, that's all I can think of when we're talking about this, where
example.
Like this well-educated woman, doctor and everything, and she gave her life so that her daughter could live, you know? And like, and what an amazing, like, her daughter is amazing and she was amazing. And, you know, like, and I feel like she was almost like that representation of, like, in her time, that was not
without a doubt
normal to be a well-educated woman like that. You know what I mean?
I
so I just, I don't know. Saint Gianna. We pray for Michelle Williams.
Right. And not, yeah, absolutely. We pray for her, et cetera. But when you compare Michelle Williams to Saint Gianna, I mean... you know, like, who do I see as brave? Yeah. Who do I see as a hero? Who do
courageous.
I see someone who's courageous? And it's St. Gianna. It's not the decision that, you know, I keep saying her name because she represents a large group of people. It's not just her.
Right.
But you know what I mean.
Right. Exactly.
What are the fruits of our decisions?
Right. And I just, Hollywood movies are not worth life.
Well, not even close.
Yeah, so
the movie can't love you back, neither can the gold statue. I mean, at the end of the day,
I know exactly.
Oh, anyway,
yay,
we'll take your golden globe anytime, you know. Whatever. I don't, that doesn't even make sense.
We'll take your babies.
That's
your
babies.
I will take your babies.
Please, we will adopt your babies.
Please,
you know. No, seriously, though, you ready for a word of the day?
I am.
Okay, I'm kind of excited about this one.
Ooh.
Hope I pronounce it right.
Okay. I'm ready.
Singletus.
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 Singletus. Singletus.
You're never going to get it.
I'm never going to get it. I'm having a hard time. I'm like, okay, so this is... I'm actually kind of stumped with this one.
What?
Try Singletus. I know. Normally, I'm so good at this. Okay. It's a fairy who is perpetually single. Singletus.
Okay. You always take like a part of the word.
I know.
And expand on it.
I know.
Which works, I guess.
Fun.
Okay. But the real meaning is a hiccup.
What?
I know, right? You could use this in a sentence.
Singletus.
All right. Here's a sentence. He waved at me for silence and focus as I control my singletus, which often occurs whenever I see a quarry. Why are all of these sentences sound like they come from the 1800s? I don't understand.
I don't know, but anyway, I would never talk like that.
No. Who knows? But anyway, thank y'all so much for sticking around and talking about this very important topic with us. We appreciate it. Hope you guys come back and hang out with us next time. Come fight with us.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.